Bless them. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 45, stanzas 1 and 2. Now the King, in thy strength, shall be joyful, O Lord, and thy salvation shall make him rejoice. And for the wish of his heart thou didst freely accord, and the request of his suppliant voice. 1 and 2 of Psalter 45.
To read out of God's holy and precious word from the book of John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 6, beginning with verse 22, up to and including verse 37. The day following, when the people which stood not on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, that we may acknowledge thee for all thy great goodness, and that thou bringest each one safely unto this day, also up unto thy house, when also one in our midst had surgery in this past week, and thou hast helped her through, and thou hast put to shame all the fears that have lived within her heart. Lord, thou dost show unto us one case at a time, through sickness and through death, and that we are fallen creatures, that we have sinned against thee, and that we must be punished. For it is all a little death, all our afflictions, all our sorrows, and it is all tending to that one place, the grave, that thou may remember her further and strengthen her and supply for the needs of the body, but also remember her and bless her soul, and that thou may visit her in her home in this day, and all those that have difficulties and needs and cares, our own daughter, in the hospital, for thou hast gladdened her and her husband with a well-born boy. Lord, humble us under thy great goodness for all thy sparing mercies, a life, another life, that is come into this world, and it is already guilty, an account of the sin of his covenant head Adam, and he is already polluted on account of the pollution of his mother, of his father, of his grandmothers, and of his grandfathers. O Lord, that thou may grant that it may be a child to be born again, to be forgiven, and to be washed and cleansed in thy blood. Lord, remember all that have children, but also those who are expecting, when that time must come, that the children are brought unto the birth, then there must also be strength to bring forth. Wilt thou supply in all their needs, but remember also those that mourn. Help and strengthen and uphold them in all their cares and sorrows, and look upon all those that miss and that lack, that thou may be a fullness for them, that thou may be everything for us. For we are those that do labor after the meat that perisheth. It is all passing away, and the labor is a labor of sweat. It is with much desire, it is with much effort, longing to obtain and to hold on to what we have obtained, for a life of ease, and that will not be filled with trials. And, Lord, thou knowest what we seek, to have our paradise here upon this world. But thou dost show unto us in thy word a paradise which is without this world. And thou sayest to labor for it, for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, a meat which is substance, which will give life, which will sustain life. Oh, that we may be given eyes to see, eyes to behold it, that thou may give to us regeneration, faith, true faith, and that may believe in God, the true God, the living God. Or that we may be given by thy Spirit to do the work of God, to believe in him who he has sent. For it shall testify so against us if we never come to that faith. That is, Lord, for us so impossible, because we cannot give ourselves to believe and to receive the truth of our own death and our own weakness, our own helplessness, our own guilt, our condemnation. We do not believe it. We do not receive it. We do not accept it. And we will never agree that Thou, Thy dear Son, should save us and receive honor and glory. In so doing, Lord, wilt Thou convert us unto Thee for the first time or by renewal. O, look upon all in our midst that do seek Thee. We do not know where they are. They may, could it be, even be among the children. It could be that there are some of our youth that do bow their knees in their bedroom, in their closet, in their secret chamber, and when they are all alone, and that do feel to be without God and without hope in this world. O Lord, wilt Thou give it in Thy mercy unto fathers, also unto mothers, that there may be a tender heart that is an example unto the children of the congregation, and that Thou may give grandfathers and grandmothers, all of us together, a cry to Thee, that Thou may work in us, that Thou may work in the rising generation. Satan is so strong, Lord. Oh, we are so weak, but Thou art almighty. Oh, that Thou may put away his devices, and that Thou may give a true bowing, that Thou may give a true conversion and an instruction unto Thy Zion, Thy people. For Thou dost show unto the little ones, little by little, step by step, a little light, a little treasure. But there are those that still do not know Thee. Oh, that Thou may open that treasure unto them, that they might see Thee, that they might know Thee, that they might love Thee, that they might seek after Thee, their whole heart, that they might see that without Thee we can do nothing, and that they cannot be delivered by their own goodness, their own righteousness, their own obedience. Oh, bring it to an end. It is so good. It is all from Thee. When we desire it, when we seek after it, when we want to walk without stepping over a straw, but it is no merit, and we need to learn it. By Thy Holy Spirit, we need to be brought with an end, to an end, with our own strength. Oh, show it to them, Lord, and with a little gentle rebuke, that Thou might point them to that blessed Son of Man who has come into the world to take away the sin of the world. Oh, that Thou may open the blind eyes of those little ones, that they might see and that they might rejoice. And all Thy people, they say, Lord, show it to me again. For Thou hidest behind our wall. Oh, show Thyself, Lord, through the lattice, that we might see Thee once again, that our hearts may rejoice. It will be to Thy honor. It will be to Thy glory. Remember all the needs and cares which we are called to lay before Thee, of land and of people, our rulers and governors and all the judges of the land, to do what is right, to give true and proper judgment, to punish the wicked and to free the innocent. And that Thou Thyself may bless also the punishments that they may be for the instruction of mankind, and that we may not be as the horse or as the mule that have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle. Remember and give them a faithfulness and the fear of thy name in our countries, all to turn us back again from the lawlessness, from the adultery, from the disobedience to parents and to government, to the idolatry, the transgression of thy Sabbath day, the taking of thy name in vain, all thy whole law. It has reached to great heights. We beg of thee that thou wouldest send thy judgments with all our sin. It is nothing but a prayer. It is nothing but a cry. It is nothing but to dare thee, O Lord, have mercy upon us amidst well-deserved wrath. And look upon all that bring thy word, increase their number. Remember us as a denomination. When the synodical body is scheduled to meet in this week, and thou knowest all the concerns, O Lord, and that there may yet be direction from thee, a little voice behind us, as saying, this is the way, walk ye therein. And that thou mayest thyself be the guide, and that thou thyself may take it over for thy own church. Oh, that thou may supply then for all those in the whole world that love thee truly, and those that serve thee truly. We know not where they are. Thou art a surprising God. That thou may bring them from the ends of the world, and that thou may bring them to thy blessed footstool, and leave not us behind, who have a profession in the visible church, but to load upon us guilt day after day, when we take all these things for granted, and when we turn not with our hearts from our sin. Oh, that it may never testify against us, that we have heard thy warnings, and that we have heard thy invitations, and that we have said we will not have this man to reign over us. Wilt thou be with us in thy mercy? Help us in this afternoon in the bringing of thy holy word, in the leading also of the singing, that all things may be done decently and in order, and that thou may give an hour together in thy favor. Could it be with a little token of thy favor and a blessing from on high, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 115, stanzas 1 through 4. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee. For thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? All stanzas 115. Thank you. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon can be found in the portion that was read to you, John 6, and thereof the 35th verse, John 6, and verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So far, and the words of our text, the bread of life. First, who it is. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Second, how it is received. We read, he that cometh unto me and he that believeth on me, how that it is received. And third, what it fulfills. He shall never hunger, and he shall never thirst. The bread of life, who it is, how it is received, and what it fulfills. I am the bread of life. Thus we see the Lord Jesus. He is standing on the shore, and there is a multitude that is about him. Yesterday, he has fed that people, 5,000 of them, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Great miracle. And the people, they have wondered at it. And when they saw that, then they thought, well, that must be the Messiah. That must be the Messiah. That is a great miracle. And we would like to have such a Messiah because, well, then we will never run out of food, children. If he can feed us just with a little bit of food, then we will always have what we need in this life. And then we read and that the Lord Jesus perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him a king. And thus we read that he sends his disciples into a ship and he departs himself into a mountain alone. And Mark says to pray. Why did he go all by himself? Why did he go away from that place? Those people, you say they want to magnify him. They want to make him a king. Because it was to him a temptation. A temptation. We read that the Bible, that the devil came to the Lord Jesus and tempted him. With what? He says, look, there's the whole world. There's the whole world. And I'm the prince of the world. They all serve me. From the moment of their conception and birth, they are serving me. And I will give them all to you if you will just bow down and worship me. Temptation. You say, how can that be a temptation? Did he have a desire for the world? No, but in the multitude of subjects is the honor of the king. Would that not be a wonder? If the whole world would truly worship God, would truly serve God, would that not be a wonder? If there was not one in the whole world that would reject him, oh, the Lord was always looking for the honor of his Father and his own honor as God. And thus when those people, they say, we will make him a king, there is a certain temptation. And what does he do in temptation? What do you do, young people, when there is temptation? You get out. You get out, right? Lead us not into temptation. Do not stay in that place, but go away from that place. And go where? On your knees. That is what the Lord Jesus did. Then you have an example from Him. The next day, these people come again. They are looking for Him. They cannot find Him. They take a ship, we read, to Capernaum. We would say that is commendable. Those people, they are seeking Jesus. That is true. Do you seek Jesus? Why do you seek Him? We read here, and Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek Me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." He looks right in their heart. Your heart. My heart. When we seek Him, do we seek Him? But why? You come to church? But why? Then He sees our motive. Oh, does He see, just a satisfying of the conscience? It's a Sabbath day. I should go to church. And when I am done with church, then I have done my duty. And then I can go home again and I can do all the things that I do during the week. Oh, He looks into the heart. It is all naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. What does He see in your heart? What did He see in their heart? He says, it is not the right reason. What are you looking for? You are looking for earthly things. You come because you want to be fed with that bread. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. Then they begin to ask a sign of Him. And they therefore said unto Him, "What sign showest Thou then that we may see and believe Thee, or what dost Thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat." What do you think, children? Do you think that the Lord Jesus could have done that? They say, be like Moses, because in the wilderness, then Moses gave us bread from heaven. Was that true? You say, no, that was not true, right? That is right, that was not true. They are making now glory in men, but it was not from man. Moses gave you not that bread. My Father gave you that bread from heaven. You are closing your eyes to the wonders of the Lord. Could the Lord Jesus have done that? You say, yes, of course He could. He can do it all, right? That is right. He did not do it. You say, why not? Why not? Why does He not now show to those people that He is God? Why does He not prove it to them? Why does not He give to them what they are asking for? Do you know what James says? He says, ye ask and ye receive not because ye ask amiss, to consume it upon your lust. These are a faithless people. And what were those miracles of the Lord for? They were to help God's poor people with true faith. But they were not to entertain the wicked, that they may see miracles, and that they may all bring their friends and say, come and we will see now another miracle. The Lord Jesus had just fed 5,000 of them with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Is that not miracle enough? Is that not sign enough? But there is nothing enough. There is nothing enough for that people. Because they are never filled with the enamor that they are seeking and looking for. Christ does not need to be told what to do. Do you want to be convinced? Do you want to be made sure? You just ask, oh Lord, wilt thou make me sure? Make me sure. But don't tell him how to do it. Because he knows how to do it much better than we know how to do it. Oh, he can make you sure in one moment. He knows. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. But my Father gave you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. They would like to have such a bread from heaven, as if their bread did not already come from heaven. Where does our bread come from? Does that come from heaven? Say yes, it comes from heaven, but that is all overlooked. All the natural means are overlooked. No, they want something that will enamor them. It has to be in a miraculous way. It has to be something extraordinary that everyone can talk about. Are they in the desert? Like the children of Israel? Do they have no food? Is it that they are hungry and thirsty and fainting in that wilderness? No, it is not at all. The Lord Jesus, when he speaks in here, he says, my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven. What is he? What is he speaking about? He's speaking about something that is spiritual. Do they hear that? They don't hear that at all. They don't hear that at all. Lord, evermore give us this bread. But they are still speaking about that carnal bread. I am the bread of life. What? What? What does he now say? That is strange language. I am the bread of life. Ah, they do not understand that. The Lord Jesus now speaks very, very plainly, but they do not understand. Ah, it is more than they do not understand. They are offended. Now they are offended. We can read that later on. It says here, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Oh, those Jews, they are taken up with all the things that are earthly, and they have nothing on spiritual things. How is that with us? Are we now the same as these Jews? They have much knowledge. They know all about Moses and how that journey went through the wilderness. They know all about that because their fathers and their mothers, they have taught, they have instructed them in the word of the Lord. So they have much knowledge. Where has that knowledge brought them? It has not brought them one step closer to receiving the benefits that Christ gave into this world to give unto his people. They do not make the right use of that knowledge that the Lord has given to them, passed down to them from generation to generation. What are we doing with the knowledge that we have received from the Lord in that natural way that the Lord says the fathers, they must instruct their children? But now there are people that have much on these words that the Lord Jesus is speaking. Do we also? Because if we have a natural hunger, then there is place for a natural bread. And if we have a spiritual hunger, then there is place for spiritual bread. And you read in the Song of Solomon, oh, she speaks how lovely that bridegroom is. Oh, he is altogether lovely. Is he so to us? Why not? Why not? Because the preciousness of Christ that is all connected to the need. To the need. Christ is always a fulfillment. He is always a fulfillment of a need, of a lack. In the heart, in the life of his people. Thus, without spiritual hunger, then we will never have a place for that spiritual bread. Thus, how is it when we try to speak, if the Lord may give us to speak, about spiritual things in the house of the Lord? You say maybe, I don't really understand those things. They are difficult for me to understand. Oh, that is one thing. That is honest. But do you say then, I want to understand them. I desire to understand them. Or are you offended with those spiritual things when they are spoken of? You know, that Minister Philpott and the sermons that he has preached and are written for us, all that are people, they say, yeah, well, you cannot read them from the pulpit because they speak only to God's people. Oh, I heard many of them when I was young. Many of them, boys and girls, when I was your age, and sitting in the church. You say that is all for God's people. Do you know that those became precious to me when I was little already? The Lord put that in my heart. Why? Because I heard over and over again, oh, what the Lord gives unto his people. And that made me jealous. That made me jealous. Are you ever jealous of God's people? They may not have a portion in this world that you envy, because God hath chosen the poor of this world, we read. But are you jealous of the portion that God gives to them in their soul? I am the bread of life. Oh, the Lord Jesus speaks of that bread as a person. I am the bread of life. He says, that bread has come down from heaven. From heaven? Who is in heaven? That is God. Thus, that bread that comes down from God, and he says, it is the bread of life. Of life. Where does life come from? All life comes from God. You believe that, young people? Because men today, more than ever in the world, are interfering with life. With life. And you are going to find that more and more as the world is going on. Do you know what that first temptation was? Ye shall be as God. That was the first temptation. And our fathers fell. Our father, Adam, fell. Oh, that was the temptation. Oh, ye shall be as God. And now life, life. That is the one thing I was to the doctor. And do you know what he said to me? He says, yeah, these things. He says, we cannot keep you alive. Oh, that is for sure. That is for sure. Oh, he says, we can only try to extend that life a little while. They cannot do that either. They cannot do that either. It is all in the hands of the Lord. And now the beginning of life, man, he puts his fingers in it. Do not do that, fathers and mothers. To try to say, oh, I am going to make a plan. This is how big my family is going to be or how little my family is going to be. Ah, the Lord can take away all your children. And one day, shall we ask Job? Oh, life. And now the end of life, how man puts his hand in the end of life. The Lord Jesus says that life that is from heaven, it is from God. And we are not God, but now spiritual life. That is also from heaven. No man can give it. Do you feel that? No man can give it. Do you desire it? You say, I cannot give it to myself. And no man can take it away. Do you believe that? Do you believe? Do you know what that means? Who gave you your natural life? Say, God. He gave it to me. That is right. Congregation, he is the same God that gives spiritual life. Is that now an encouragement? That same God that made you, he also gives spiritual life. What do you think? Do you think God knows of you? Do you think God knows of you? Do you think that he thinks upon you? What do you think? Say, maybe I never thought about it so. But he made you. And he upholds you each and every day. He gives you food and drink and health and strength and clothing and everything that is necessary in this life. Does he not know of you? Does he not know where you are? Or will you then not bow your knees and go to that God who made you and say, Lord, thou made me and thou gave me life and thou upholdest my life in this world. And now, Lord, I need spiritual life. And thou art that same God that gives spiritual life. And I had nothing to do with my birth. Nothing. And I have no power to give unto myself that new birth. Or will you not lay daily at your feet to the last hour of your life that God has given unto you? And remember that he knows where you are when you are laying on your knees in your inner chamber. Oh, you say, but I am a sinner. Is that not a wonder that the Lord has sent me? Is that not a wonder that the Lord has sent me to preach unto you who are nothing but a spiritually dead sinner? The Lord did that. To say unto you, to preach unto you, I am the bread of life. Why did the Lord do that? Ah, you say, well, how can I get it? How can I get it? Yes. That is our second thought. I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And those two things are the same. To come unto him or to believe unto him. So believing is explaining the word to come. What does it mean to come to him? That is to believe in him. So that is the means, faith, that benefit becomes ours. Like eating. Sometimes he says that too. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man. So here he speaks about bread. So eating. Eating is a very special thing. And you know what that is. We all know what that is. To eat. But now explain it to me. How that goes. To eat. Because that is like faith, he says. Coming and believing. Well, that is not so easy to explain, right? But we could speak about, well, if we're going to speak about eating, where should we begin, children? Where should we begin if we're going to speak about eating? Where would you begin, young people? Where would you start? Well, you have to start with hunger, don't you? Don't you have to start with hunger? You know, there are many people, they speak about faith. That is that spiritual eating. But they do not begin with hunger. And that is the problem. That is a great problem. Why? Because the Bible says that if there is no hunger, there is no eating. A full soul loatheth an honeycomb. It vomits it. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Ah, there you have it. There you have it. Is sweet. Can you speak about that too? Hunger. And what that experience is now to eat. But then there's more, because that takes place in our mouth. And that food goes into our digestive system. And there it nourishes our body. Going to speak about that too? Oh, you say, can I really speak about that, can I? Because, why not? Well, we don't really perceive that, do we? That is something that is just taking place. The Lord is doing that, and it is happening all to me in a mysterious way. He that cometh to me, and he that believeth on me. How now can we explain that to you? What faith is. How faith operates, because that is so important, right? In order to distinguish between a temporary faith and a true saving faith. You wish to know that, do you not? It's not so easy, because they are spiritual things, but that begins with what? Hunger. Thus we have one of the evidences of life. That is received by the Lord. And that is evidence even of faith. Received by faith, but read ABC of Comrie. Then you speak about hungering. I'll speak about thirsting, about panting, and so on. Now, hunger, that is not something that is just immediate, is it? It is not that now I am not hungry, and one moment later I am very hungry. You say, no. That's something that grows. It begins very, very small. And then it gets more and more intense as time goes on. And if you have nothing to eat, then it becomes even a painful thing. That you are without food. And that hunger that must be satisfied, it becomes an urgent matter in the end. Because in the end, you say, if I do not eat, I'm going to die. Hunger perceives the nature of its own desires. Thus, natural hunger perceives that it hungers after natural things, natural food and drink. But spiritual hunger perceives that it is hungering after something else. It cannot be filled with anything natural. It cannot. The desires of my heart, the hunger, the thirst of my heart, the world cannot fill it. Or you cannot put that round world in a triangular heart. It cannot fill the quarters. It cannot fill it up. Never. Oh, so it perceives. It perceives the nature of the things that it desires. And that spiritual hunger that is seeking satisfaction. Where does it seek it from? The Word. The Word. Why? Because it believes. It believes the Word. Oh, and that life that is seeking to be upheld. It does not want to die. It feels, you do not want to die, right, boys and girls? You feel your life. You have natural life. You want to keep your natural life. Oh, if someone feels, and they may not be able to say that is spiritual life, and yet they perceive it. They perceive it. They may not be able to distinguish everything, but they don't want that to go away. They don't want that to die. And they are then looking that hunger, that spiritual hunger can be satisfied. How do they try to satisfy that? Oh, I am apart from the Lord. And what makes me apart from the Lord? It is the transgressions of my heart and of my life. How then can I come back unto Him? Well, I will keep His Word. That is their delight. Their delight. And the hunger and that thirst after Him. He is a righteous God. He is a holy God. And then how can I live so unholy and expect that I will receive the blessings from Him and that I will be able to come back to Him, that there would be communion with Him, that He would look upon me? Then I must be holy. I delight in Thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Us too. But it does not fulfill. It does not fulfill. Is that so in your life? How long? How long have you now been trying to come back to Him with all the desire of your heart? And you say, Lord, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes anymore. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. How many years? Or has not that begun yet? Has that not yet begun? That is not a good thing. And now what does it bring? Does it now bring you any closer? Can you now not climb that ladder of perfection of that holy law unto that holy God? Do you find that to be impossible? Oh, hunger. Hunger cannot find. It cannot find. Because if hunger would find, it would not be hunger anymore, would it? As soon as hunger finds, it is gone. Because then that hunger is satisfied. But hunger misses. Hunger lacks. And that is very painful. Do you know what that pain is? Because death, that is now the consequence of not receiving what that man is hungering after. Do you think that he has to get up in the morning and set now a reminder that he is hungry? Do you think he has to set that on his list, the things he has to do, that he has to desire after God? Oh. It is a wonder if they can do their work. A wonder if they can do their work. It is now their work. Sometimes they have to put that down. Why? Why? Because that hunger, what happens? Oh, it rises. It rises above everything else. If you are doing your work and you are now so hungry, you say, I have to stop my work. Oh, that hunger that has to be satisfied, that comes first, that is rising slowly, not in one day. It is rising slowly to a great height. That hunger can be a great, great distraction to all the things that a man has to do in this world. I am the bread of life. Oh, are they not sweet words to such a man who is ready to perish, who is ready to die because he can no longer sustain himself? Sweet? Is that what we said? Sweet words? What does that belong to? Sweet. What is now that connected to? Is that connected to eating? To eating? Sweetness? Is not eating, is that not now the, or is that not now the coming? Is that now not the believing? Did you ever taste that? Sweet. In the declaration of that bread of life. I am the bread of life. Oh, did you ever taste that sweetness? In that or another portion of the Holy Word of God? Can you now taste without eating? Do not those two things go always together? How do you taste sweet? How do you taste it? Well, you said the hunger and the bread. They need to come together. And when that hunger and the bread come together, then I taste sweet. Why? Why? Because bread is so suitable to hunger. It is fit. Perfectly fit, like a glove fits on your hand. Perfectly suitable. David says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. To my taste. How can it be that David has tasted sweetness of the Word of God? What is the only way that a man can taste the sweetness of the Word of God? That is by faith. That is by faith. Because that Word, that is a spiritual gift. And if he will taste the sweetness thereof, he must believe it. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me, he that believeth on me, he that eateth me, he that tasteth me, Let us sing. 177. 177, the first stanza. O God, be merciful and bless, and let us see thy shining face, that all the earth may know thy way, and all men taste thy saving grace. One of 177. The bread of life, who it is, how it is received, and last, what it fulfills. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. What does that speak about? It speaks about satisfaction, because when we eat bread and it satisfies us, then that hunger disappears. The pain disappears, the gnawing in our stomach, that all goes away. Christ is the fulfillment of every need for his whole church. He brings with him all the benefits for his church, so that there is nothing that needs to be added by the people or by anyone else. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Experience that once. Experience that only once. Faith in him and you will believe that. It is as the satisfaction of bread. David says, the meek shall eat and shall be satisfied. Faith beholds the fullness that there is in him. Read that in the Song of Solomon, where the exercises of faith, they are displayed in all their beauty and their loveliness. Of course, eating is not just something that we do once, as if we can eat one time and then we stay alive for the rest of our life. No, eating is a continual necessity. Thus, when that text says, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst, it does not say that they shall never hunger after him again, and they shall never hunger thirst after him again. No. But it says that this bread of life is the continual satisfaction and the complete satisfaction for every want and for every need of his people. How does it go with eating? You say, you hunger, and then you eat, and you are satisfied, and then you hunger again. For that same kind of food, that nourishing food, that does make you to, that does keep you alive, that does prevent you from dying. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. We read in Psalm 32, a song that David sang, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. David was a man who knew what it was to fall into a great sin. Oh, what an awful knowledge. What an awful knowledge. Be careful, young people. Be careful. But David knew also what it was. He says, my bones, they waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Oh, the guilt. The guilt every day again, he says, over and over again. But now the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And what did Nathan say? He says, the Lord hath also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Did he need anything more than that? Did he need anything more than that? Was not then that guilt and that punishment completely put away? Thus, when Christ is coming, and when what faith may see in him that is complete, they do not need to seek any further. They feel that. They know that. That is experience. It is, young people, if you will experience a little of that, there is no need for you to go from church to church to church. You say, is the Muslim the right religion, or Islam, or Buddhism, or this or that? No. It isn't necessary. Because you will be so convinced when the Lord brings everything with him. Think about that thief. You know justice has to be satisfied, sin that has to be punished. You know that, I know that, we feel that. And now that thief, did he not experience the same thing? He said, we indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds. It's our own fault. And that punishment that is just. Just. And now that man, he saw such a fullness in that mediator. Such a fullness. He saw everything that he needed. Everything that made him to cry out by faith, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, if thou wilt remember me, then it is finished. I am sure of that. Where does it come from? Faith. Faith. True saving faith. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Oh, we go to the leper. We go to the leper. And and he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me, what, boys and girls? What? Clean. Thou canst make me clean. Is that now the same thing as asking for forgiveness? Oh, that's not the same. That's not the same. When we ask for forgiveness, that is about guilt. When we ask for cleansing, then we say, well, I am dirty. I am filthy. So now that leper, we say the thief and David, what did they see in Christ? What did they see in him? Everything that they needed for justification, to be forgiven by their judge, and to receive a right to enter into that eternal glory. But not a leper. No, there is something else God's people need. They do not only need to be forgiven all their guilt, they need to be washed. They need to be cleansed. How? They do not just say, Lord, wilt thou help me to be an aid? I will do part, and you can do part. No. The leper could do nothing to cleanse that corruption that was in all his flesh. What can you do? What can you do? You ever come to an end of that? And say, oh Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Oh, that was faith. And he saw in him everything. I will be completely clean. There is nothing else that I need anymore. Oh, the sufficiency. He saw the suitability, but also how satisfying. When that is done, when he has cleansed me, oh, then the pain is gone. Then I do not have to hunger for it anymore. I am the bread of life. Oh, those are the views that the Lord is giving unto those hungry souls for that bread of life, to satisfy every need, because there are many more needs. Not just justification, not just sanctification. They need also to be completely renewed. They need to be reconciled unto God. Oh, the Lord satisfies every need for the continuation, the upholding of that life, that it will not die. Of course, they do not see all of those needs in one day. The Lord does not open all the sin of his church in one day. And he does not show all their needs in one day. The one, he may see one thing one day, and the other may see something else, and one more in the foreground, the other something else in the foreground. They all need the same thing, but one need now at a time. And the Lord, he is fulfilling then all those needs, first one thing and then another. And now when that need comes, then the Lord has the remedy ready. He is so good. He has the remedy ready for that people. That is why there are so many names of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. Oh, there's a whole list. Whole list. All the different names. Why? Because there are so many different needs. And he is the fulfillment of every single one of those needs, leading people, his own people, one more, one less, into this need, into that need, and fulfilling those needs, satisfying those needs. By him are ye in Christ Jesus, Paul says, who is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Everything, everything. Oh, they see him in his offices, in his states, in his natures, in his person, oh, everything. Oh, there is only one we need. Only one we need. He becomes the all and in all for his people. I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You say, I think I am not a complete stranger of that. Is that right? Do you have to say that honestly before God? Is that not a wonder? If you may say that, I am not a complete stranger of that. Because the Lord does not give that to everyone. And there it is, spiritual life, evidences of spiritual life. But you say, why is it? Because we heard this morning about the Lord's Supper, and we hope soon to have the Lord's Supper again. Why is it that now when I come unto that table, and there is that bread, and I cannot deny that bread, that, oh, it has at one time been so precious unto me, but then I come and I go from that table, and it seems like it is no profit to me at all. Why is that? Then you say, I am so confused by that. Oh, there are several things. In the first place, you know that hunger is by degrees. And then it is not always the same when we eat. Sometimes there is more hunger. Sometimes there is less hunger. Sometimes there is more remembrance of a meal. And sometimes less remembrance of that meal. And yet every one of those meals has done what? Every one of those meals has nourished you. Oh, you say, you do not receive profit from it. Could it be that then that you do not use those means as that you ought to use those means? Because there are means to make us hungry. You know, boys and girls, when your mother is in the kitchen and she is making that supper, and you start to smell the aroma, and that brings to your mind what you have eaten once before. And then what happens? Oh, you feel it, right? Then you begin to long. You begin to say, oh, you look forward. Could I taste that again? And so the Lord, he has also means to make that people to hunger. When they may read again. That is the purpose of that self-examination, the week of preparation. Does it have to be 1 week, or can we now begin? It should be every week, right? It should be every week. But to read, to listen, a sermon, and then to hear, to bring back the things, the tasting, I have tasted that before, and the sweetness of it, and then the hunger. Oh, then it is coming up. It's coming up. There is another thing. Do we perceive all the aspects of the nourishment of our body? We say when it is in our mouth that we taste it. But once it is swallowed, yeah. Is it not nourishing anymore? Is that doing nothing for you anymore? Though you do not know what is happening, oh, so much, even though there may not be so great enjoyment, so much of what the Lord does for his people, the strengthening of his people, is imperceptible. There is one more thing. You know that when we eat every day, that every day we are satisfied. But if we would not eat for 5 days, well, then the hunger is much greater, and then we remember that meal also much more. And that day when the hunger was so, so great, that we remember it and we can tell about it maybe, and we forget those times when we were eating every day. But what is actually more profitable for us? That is that we would eat every single day. And that the Lord would give unto his people that hunger every day and the satisfaction of that hunger to experience and to know, oh, that they may partake of him, to be satisfied in him. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. O congregation, outside of the bread of life is death. Is death. If we have him, we have life. And he is all that we need. And if we miss him, we miss everything. Do you believe that? What do you lack? What do you lack? Maybe you say, oh, I lack hunger. That is what I lack. I lack hunger. I lack the very beginning. The very beginning. Oh, I am dead. Dead. What is now the solution? What is the remedy for death? The bread of life. I am the bread of life who gives life from heaven. From heaven. Do you not see the suitability? Do you not see the suitability? Or will you then go to him? Go to him with your death, with your death. Oh, say, Lord, I am dead, and thou art the bread of life. Oh, give to me that life that cometh down from heaven. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is but a few words, but it is thy word, and it is about thee, and the bread of life, and the life that comes down from heaven, and we need thee, and thou art all we need. O remember us, Lord, each and every one. Give us to hunger now for that bread, and not to be as those people, those Jews that we have read, that we read, and that they said against him, because he said that he was that bread that came down from heaven. Oh, they were offended. Thou sayest, blessed is he that is not offended in me. Oh, remember us, young and old together, in this week. O give us to think upon thee, when we take our bread in our mouth each and every day, that we might say, O Lord, I have hunger for natural bread. I need hunger for spiritual bread. O come, Lord. Work, Lord. Thou art the bread of life, and we are dead by nature, but thou art the remedy. Do it for thy name's sake, forgiving all our sins. Help us in this week. Keep us, each one in our place. Remember us in traveling, and all the delegates that will travel, be with those that are not able to travel, that are not able to go to attend, O Lord, that thou wouldest arise in thy mercy and show thy way in forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 55:1-3. The Lord my shepherd holds me within his tender care, and with his flock he folds me. No want shall find me there. 55:1-3. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.